What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is live. And, Clint, you heard a little bit more than I did. We are going to get to Park and Pass Gate here in a bit. You heard a little bit more than I did. I came in a little out. I do want to hear it live. You know, I'd like to hear it live.
It's for those that have been listening since our crosstalk at 155-ish to now. It's just interesting kind of how information flows. It's interesting how one ear hears something versus how the other ear hears something, and then it's communicated in a way, and it's kind of I feel like Seth and the Pan got probably taken a little out of context. There's some missing facts there that I can fill in the blanks for them, but there's the Sean thing is long.
Oh, is it?
It's and he gradually gets a little bit more frustrated. Doesn't seem to be frustrated at all at jump, but he gets a little more frustrated.
Oh, I want to hear it.
And then I'm not real sure that John Lopez and Reggie Atitula aren't stirring the pot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like I'm not real sure that those two weren't waiting for the topics to be discussed so that they could.
Maybe so it feels like maybe they let them. It feels like maybe they led them topics. Yeah. I wonder if they did.
You'll see how it goes.
I want to hear that. We're coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll figure out.
We're gonna get to the bottom of the pan. We're gonna get to the bottom of the pan. Damn sure in the 4 o'clock.
We will get to that. Again, we greatly appreciate Nate Boyer. Fun interview there. If you're ever in Austin, go to the Cock Bar.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly what the name of it was.
Well, I just said it was.
I think it was El Cockfight. I think it's the name of it.
I mean, it says the home of the big cock. It's what he said. It's a huge sign.
Yeah.
As soon as you open the door.
Like so. I said, I just hope my wife didn't stroll through there a few times when she was in Austin at school.
Well, you don't even know what it could be. Just a good place to have some drink. Well, got beer pong.
I would imagine in that place there's a lot of fellas like yourself that enjoy seeing how many ways you could use that word and throw it around. And I just would rather my wife at that age not be around it. Please. I'm going to go through there, though. I'll slide through and have a good time.
Yeah.
I bet you they got a nice tequila bar.
I bet you they do. Yeah. And a good time, and you want to take that from Lauren.
Hey, I could talk to Nate Boyer. I could do an hour-long podcast, long form with Nate Boyer. That stuff, which I'm sure it entertains most civilians that have never done anything like that. Not only is it, could you never do it, but secondly, it was done for your freedom. So I'm sure it appeals to everybody. But damn, that's good stuff, man.
How many days do you think you could last?
I could last longer than most.
You think you?
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say I could complete it because I don't want to disrespect anybody that has. But I would be able
the
to.
Green Berets training, yeah.
That training, yeah. I would be able to last longer than most. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I mean, I would be able to last.
I would take the under on 45, for me.
45 days.
Minutes.
You wouldn't last 45 minutes in training.
I'd take the under.
What do you think that you think?
Hell, in my 45 mind,
45 minutes?
Yeah, I'd take the under. I'm just saying, man. Hell, I remember when I was 18 and 17, and what 2-a-days was like for me. And I would imagine this is a lot more, a lot more tougher 40 and 2-a-days. I give myself. I was gonna say 30 minutes, but I got a little bit more belief in myself than that.
I'm not going to sit over here and
you say you'd have multiple days. You come back.
Oh yeah, I mean he said it's 2 years. He said the training's ultimately 2 years.
Any physical stuff? Yeah, 45.
Yeah, no, I would, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I could finish 2 years. I'm not going to say that I could be a Green Beret again. That's disrespectful. but I feel like I'm wired in a way that I could. It would be hard to make me quit. It'd be hard for me to look myself in the mirror and say, man, I quit. Now, if they walked up and said, hey, Bub, you ain't got it, then it'd be easy. The minute they told me I ain't got it, take your ass home, I'd probably bow and take my ass home. But as long as it's still I'm in the game, I feel like I'd be all right.
Yeah, 45 minutes, not more, 38. All right. As we're live, Radio Row, still the big story is the new OC. And the other part of that walking into yesterday, Clint, was the fact that Chip Kelly was signed, and the massive deal he got, by far the highest paid offensive coordinator, $6 million a year, has been reported. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, God, I saw this a lot on the text line, YouTube, and Twitch. No, I'm not. I don't want to pay $6 million. That's too expensive. I'm glad. They shouldn't pay that, all this, and that. You came at it in a different thought, Clint, on the – hey, $6 million for Chip Kelly. Most people are like, no, I'm glad. Fine, take him. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't even want to do that. Hell, there's some like, I don't even want to interview him because I wouldn't even think about paying that. What would have been your thought process? Because I think it seems like a lot of people may have been disappointed if they would have spent that kind of money on Chip Kelly the way people are talking.
No, I don't give a rip about the money they spend. I mean, I would feel really good as a Texans fan. And I'm not saying that Chip Kelly was the guy. But had they entertained Chip Kelly and been in the game for Chip Kelly, knowing it was going to be like whatever the report was that Ohio State had a standing offer at $5 million per, I would feel a lot better about the Texans and what they're going to do offensively if the brass would have been like, we'll entertain it. We'll take a look at it. Were that serious about offensive football? Were that serious about – look, you're talking about $5 or $6 million a year. You've had to pay C.J. Stroud $60 million. You know, I know one's a salary cap, one's a coach's deal. I would just – my point in all of it is not that one guy directly is the answer. My point with Chip Kelly is I would love to think that the organization that I fan for and cover on a daily basis, I would feel tenfold better about what's going to happen offensively if this organization was in the game with a Chip Kelly and money was no object.
Yeah, because it's a signal of, hey.
We're serious about winning, man. We got to get this done.
Yeah, we understand. We can pay anything we want to somebody. I did find that – I understand if you were like, yeah, I don't think Chip Kelly is as great as everybody cracks him up to be, or you were talking about, I don't know if he's a great fit. I get that. But as a fan, the thinking of, oh, I don't want to pay $6 million. It's not going to the salary cap. How do you not give it? Why do you give a damn how much it is? I would think if as a fan is, let me get the absolute best person in here.
Yeah.
And not due to cash. And again, if you were one who is like, and I know I've seen some people in the last day text in like, no, God, he's not worth that. He's not like a lot of people are saying he's this or that, but he failed in the NFL. I can understand if that is your thought. But if your thought is, I'm glad they didn't get him because it would cost too much. Well, why does that matter to you?
It's all relative, right? I mean, it's like he is as good and as valuable as somebody's willing to pay him. And Ohio State just winning a national championship was willing to pay him $5 million, and the Las Vegas Raiders were willing to pay him $6 million. So obviously he's worth it. Now you individually can believe, oh, nah, he failed several years ago as a head coach or whatever, however you want to couch it.
Somebody said he was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, somebody said he's worth it, so he's clearly worth it. And again, to me, I'm going to make this clear, like it's less about one guy versus the other and more about the organization being in a position and being serious enough about offensive football where something that's not going to hold them back from signing a player like coach's salary, I would feel better about it if they were entertaining those caliber offensive coordinators. Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
All right, as we continue live here, the Drive and the Drive family, Clint, you're going to need to help my wife, Courtney. She's texted me about a survey.
Oh, wow.
An important survey that she's doing at work. She said, I'm doing a very important survey for work and need your input. I said, okay, I'll take it to the air. We'll get the people's input. 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Do you think the term hit it and quit it is known universally by everyone? Do you think the term hit it and quit it? Now, I don't want you to – you know what that means, don't you?
Well, hell yes, I know
okay,
what
now, I don't want you to give it away,
phrase,
but do you –
It's a phrase I live by for about 40-plus years.
Does everyone at this table understand hit it and quit it? You got the meaning of this. Hit it and quit it. We got a thumbs up right here. You got it, Parker? Yes, sir. Yes, baby. Figgy, you got it? All right, everybody, you know hit it and quit it? You got it? I think he knows.
That fella may not.
Because she's texting, she's like, is there an age stoppage?
Yes.
Both older, but you don't think this is one that everyone knows? Hit it and quit it. Like you,
I don't think if you walked up to my father-in-law right now and just randomly said, "Hey man, hit it and quit it," he would know what you're talking about.
Linda.
No. Because she's been around me, there's a really good chance she has. Yes, I mean she may. I don't know. My mother-in-law, no chance.
Your mother-in-law, she's got. No chance. Age?
No chance.
Really?
No chance.
I am certain my mom has hit it and quit it.
Big Earn, Dad, you may have to repeat it 3 or 4 times before he heard it and processed it. So I'd say no with Big Earn, too.
You would say no. Yeah, I don't want to give away what hit it and quit it because someone just said, no, I don't have it from the text line.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's.
Damn.
That's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I hope maybe one day my kids don't know. Never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said universally known. No, universally known to everyone between the ages of 35 and 70.
No, 70 ain't got it.
No, I think younger.
I'm going to go 25, 50.
Yeah. I you don't think 20? I think younger.
I don't know, man.
These kids, high school kids, like 15, man. 15. 15, right?
Yeah. I think there's some 15-year-olds out there that know it, but I don't think if you walked into a high school class and said, hit it and quit it.
Hey, yeah.
No, they will know. They will know. Them young kids, man.
You'd know better than me. I guess I'm just assuming that they're so different nowadays.
From what I'm seeing, I would say this feels like maybe a 75%, 80% of most people, if we walked around here and did a poll, hit it and quit it. Like we walked around here and did a poll, I feel like.
Yeah, most folks, hell, they're all in that age range. I mean, they're all at least 25.
You think Ryan, there's Ryan Leaf walking by. Do you?
Yeah,
if I say the phrase hit it and quit it, you know what that means?
Right. Hey, just dead face, dude. Just dead face.
Ryan Leaf. And Ryan Leaf, yes, he does know what hit it and quit it means. There it is. He said he was a college quarterback.
That's right. I told him, I said, I lived by about 44 years.
That's it. Ryan Leaf says somebody came on and said, you ain't quitting this. There it is, Ryan Leaf. I mean, he walked by. Hey, dead face. Yeah, hell yeah, I know what it means. I'll give it.
That's going. You know how great that's going to be. Leaf and I go back. I ain't seen him in a year. He's going to be like, boy, I tell you what.
What kind of show y'all got?
Ain't seen you in a year. First time I see y'all over there talking about hitting and quitting,
baby. And I was like, the look in his eyes. I was a college quarterback. My goodness, the damage he did it.
Good to see you. Good to see you. And I'm sure he looked at me. Good to see you. You ain't grown up yet.
Craig Gass will join us coming up here. We'll get a good conversation with him. He's got an excellent story. If you don't know it, you'll want to hear it. And a very, very funny guy. And he's got an impression that when I look at his face, I can't see it. And I got to hear it. I need to hear Tracy Morgan. I got to see and hear that for myself. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yingling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, Radio Row here in New Orleans, and we have another member sitting in the exclusive furniture hot seat right here, baby. We got you there, got you in the lazy boy in the hot seat to do his thing, joining The Drive, Craig Gass, who joins us, and you know him, stand up comic, also did work on King of Queens, Family Guy, American Dad, great voice work. And I'm telling you this, I'm gonna make you all wait through this because I need to hear this myself. Everybody I keep hearing says he does a serious Tracy Morgan. You talked to me about it. I told you don't do it before we get on. I want to wait and make people listen to this. And while you're at it, if you don't know what Craig looks like, look him up and tell me if that guy right there says he's about to crush He's about to crush. And if you're watching him on YouTube, which just some people aren't watching, if this guy's about to crush a Tracy Morgan impression. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear this, man.
I'm known as a comedian who does voices. I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. My whole family's deaf. My mom, my dad, my sister are all, which sounds like a joke, but it's not. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all completely deaf. And growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk. From my family. I learned how to talk by watching TV, and I copied all the voices I heard on TV. And I always talk about the fact that I never got an accent from the Bronx, which is where I grew up. And everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. Hey! This is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
Like, everybody sounded like that. So, yeah. Yeah, that's Tracy. And, dude, I remember the first time I met Tracy was at Saturday Night Live. I wrote for a Weekend Update from 98 to 2000. I wrote for Colin Quinn. And I remember walking up to Tracy, and I go, hey, man, Tracy, I just want to say hello, man. My name's Craig Gass. I'm a comedian. I write for Colin. And, dude, you're my favorite cast member on the show. And he goes,
yeah, that's crazy. You a stand-up comedian?
And I go, yeah. And he goes,
what you doing next Friday? And I go,
next Friday?
He goes, next Friday! And I go, I don't know. What am I doing next Friday? He goes, you open up for me at the New York Comedy Club.
And I was like, really? Yeah, I would love to. So that I had nothing going on in my life back then. My whole week was like, I'm opening up for Tracy Morgan, open up for Tracy Morgan. And then I go do the show. And this is the first time I realize how unusual Tracy Morgan is, because I did the show. Tracy comes up to me and he says,
Craig, what you drinking?
And I go, oh.
Come on, man, you gotta stop that.
I go, can I get a Corona? And he goes,
yeah, you get a Corona. So how you like this?
And I go, how do I like this club? And he goes,
no, how you like stand-up comedy?
A ghost just walked into the room.
I think Tracy just knocked it down.
He said, how do you like stand-up comedy?
And I said, oh, man, I love it. I'm head over heels in love with stand-up comedy. He goes,
you got to be like Bruce Lee in the six-foot kick.
And I go, the what? And he goes,
you don't know about Bruce Lee in the six-foot kick? They say when Bruce Lee kick you, you go back 6 feet. That's why when people ask me, how you living? I'm like, I'm 6 foot kicking it. You got to 6 foot kick your way through life. That's the way you got to approach your life.
And he got nose to nose with me. And spit was flying out of his mouth into my eyeball. And I go, what are you talking about? I had no idea what he was talking about. A week later, I'm telling other comedian friends of mine, I'm like, man, that Tracy Morgan guy's kind of weird, man. And then one of the guys in that group was a guy named Kurt Metzger. Kurt was writing for the Chappelle Show. And he goes, dude, I was in a car with that guy on the West Side Highway. And Chappelle's show had only done one season. And he goes, I looked at Tracy and I said, oh, I don't know if I told you. Chappelle's show got picked up for a second season. So that's cool, right? I can make some more money. And he said, Tracy just went, damn, Kurt. And he slammed the brakes on, pulled the car over on the side of the West Side Highway. And he goes, what are we in, Kurt? Right now, what are we in, me and you? And he goes, in a car? And he goes, no, we in show business, Kurt. We in show business. How many letters in the word show? And he goes, four. And he goes, how many letters in the word business? And he goes, eight. And he goes, don't you forget that, Kurt. And he goes, what is, I don't, that's not even a lesson. What, we're counting letters? Like, what, I don't, yeah. Like, all the Tracy Morgan stories are just wild and just nuts, and I love that guy, man. He's one of the funniest dudes on the planet, and but just love stand-up comedy. And we were talking about the anniversary of SNL coming up. And how Tracy's been doing a lot of interviews. He's just one of the most raw, funny people I've ever met, but he's always talking in euphemisms. There's a urban legend that Tina Fey pitched the idea to Tracy like this. She goes, hey, Tracy, I got this idea for a show. I'm pitching an idea to NBC for a show about a show at 30 Rock. And one of the characters on the show is a guy named Tracy. What's his last name on the show, 30 Rock?
I can't remember.
Tracy something. And she goes, I got this idea for this guy. He's a comedian on a show at 30 Rock. His name's Tracy.
It's him.
It's him. But she goes, so the idea is the character is like this comedian named Tracy. And the country loves Tracy. Everybody in America loves Tracy. But what the country doesn't know is that Tracy's crazy. He's, like, certifiably insane. Do you think you could play that? And Tracy, the urban legend is that he was like, yeah, I could do that. I used to live on Dagobah. I used to mess around with Yoda's cousin. I could do anything.
And
okay.
I hear him. I can never believe if he's being serious or not. I can't.
Yeah. Dude, one of the great – oh, man. I can't tell you the story, but – I don't know. I already passed one story. All right. So if you dump this,
the damn thing.
Watch this story on YouTube. I'm getting ready to open for Dave Chappelle. It's at Caroline's Comedy Club. It's a Monday night. This agent comes up to me and says, did you hear about that party last weekend? I go, did you hear about what? He goes, did you hear about that party last week? Tracy Morgan had a party. Everybody took their clothes off, and they all started jumping in this. And I was like, what? And he goes, we're standing around with suits on, and there's naked people. And I went, wait, like that? And he's like, no, just all right. And then at that moment, Tracy Morgan walks around the corner. I haven't seen Tracy in probably a year at this point, and I go, Tracy, I heard your party was messed up, man. Tracy rolled over and just eyeballed me, and he just went, it was crazy. It was crazy. You know what's crazy about it, Craig? When you get off on my floor, you don't even hear nothing. You don't hear nothing at all. Then you start walking towards my apartment, but you still don't hear nothing. Then you knock on my door, but you still don't hear nothing, right? And when I open the door, there's buttholes and toes everywhere. And I went, what the hell? And just because I've never heard that phrase before, I said, did you just say buttholes and toes? And Tracy Morgan said, yeah, before he added some of them toes were in the buttholes. And he walked out of the room. It's the most magical story I've ever heard in my life.
Magical.
But, yeah, man, that guy, Tracy, is – I still see him around in the city, and he's just one of the nicest guys, one of the most likable guys. He will talk to anybody, but he's always talking in euphemisms. And it's just, you know. But, yes, so I'm a comedian who does voices, and I'm a huge football fan, so I came out here to talk to the Chiefs and the Eagles yesterday, and I'm getting help from a friend of mine by the name of Steve Gleason. Steve Gleason is a legend, yes, in the town of New Orleans. He was just recognized on the ESPYs for his courage, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award.
Yep.
Steve Gleason played for the New Orleans Saints, was a stud. They actually have a statue of him in front of the Superdome. But he was diagnosed in the middle of his NFL career with ALS. He now is only capable of communicating through a machine, like a laptop. I don't know what you call that device. And he uses his eyes to form sentences. And he's one of the funniest dudes I've ever met. I met him through a friend of mine plays guitar in the band Pearl Jam. And Steve's a huge Pearl Jam fan. So I've been running into him over the years. And he's just, like, he's so quick. I remember he said, I saw him backstage at a Pearl Jam show. And he goes, like, through his machine, he said, hey, Craig, come over here and entertain my friends. And I walked over and was like, hey, what's up? You guys here with Steve? I'm a comedian. You guys want to hear some impressions? Name of a celebrity. I start doing impressions for them. And then Steve, on his machine, said, Craig's family is deaf. That's probably how he learned how to talk. And I said, that's what he just said is true. That's because my family's deaf. I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by watching TV. I copied all the voices. What, Steve? That's accurate, Steve. And Steve goes, my kids will probably end up sounding like robots. And I was like, wow, damn, wow. Like I saw, he came to, at the Super Bowl in Houston a few years ago, he came to the show I did in Houston. And after the show, he said so many nice things about my stand-up. And I was like, oh, my God, can I hug you? Can I give you a hug? And he said, of course, I love hugs. And I went to hug him. He said, not as much as I love BJs. And I went, what? Dude, you can't. Come on, man.
But you just gave him the hug, right?
Yeah. I just... And he just, I pitched an idea. I said, Steve, I think it would be great if you helped me interview the Chiefs and the Eagles. And this is the angle I want to go with. And he said, I love it. Let's do it. So he's totally into it. He's very self-effacing. He's one of the funniest dudes I've ever met. So we're putting together this incredible package with the Chiefs and the Eagles this week with the team. So
real quick before we go, you gave us Tracy Morgan. You got a couple more in your belt, real quick.
Yeah, man. I've always been able to do any voice that I hear. Like everything, like because I grew up in a deaf family. Like the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. Like Christopher Walken has a real stop and go kind of voice where he'll talk every once in a while. He'll stop. And that'll keep going. Or Adam Sandler, who is really silly. And that's a shibby-doo. and then my first episode of Family Guy that I ever worked on, they asked me to do Al Pacino. It was just me and Seth MacFarlane in the studio. And Seth kept doing one line as Peter Griffin where he kept saying, "This is crazier than when Al Pacino was a slumlord laundromat tenant." And then they cut to me as Al Pacino surrounded by a bunch of broken down washers and dryers going, "You're out of order. And you're out of order. And you're all out of order." And we did that three times. And Seth MacFarlane goes, "All right, man. I think we're good." But, and this is embarrassing, I got nervous because I thought we're going to be friends now because we're working together. And I stood up and I went, "All right. So you want to hang out?" And he goes, "What do you mean hang out?" And I go, "You want to grab a coffee or something?" And he goes, "I got to work." And I said, "All right, you want me to leave?" He goes, "Yeah, get the hell out of here." And I was like, "Oh, my God." I grabbed my paperwork. I walked out. They didn't call me again for like 6 months. Then they started calling me and saying, "Hey, can you do this voice or this voice?" And everything they gave me, I was like, "I can do any voice you need. I'll do any voice. I can do any voice." And every time I come back in, Seth MacFarlane's never around. It's always Mike Henry, who does the voice of Cleveland and the creepy old guy. And every time I see Mike Henry, I go, "Hey, Mike, is Seth around?" Every time I see him, he goes, "Don't worry about Seth. We'll get you out of here real quick." Like, oh, man, we'll get you out of here really quick. So, yeah, man, I'm going to be in Houston later this year. Okay. And when I do, I'll come by and visit. I got many more Tracy Morgan stories
please,
for you.
Please.
There's a couple comedy specials that will be out between now and the next time I see you. I'm putting out two comedy specials. So, I'm looking forward to coming in and talking more sports with you guys and sharing this thing I'm about to do with Steve Gleason.
At some point, we'll get to sports. But, yeah. Craig, we appreciate you joining us, man. I know you got a lot of spots to be in. I want to say that I'm a bit disappointed because I feel like you didn't think I had Pearl Jam because the way that you explained it and the way your hand came this way was like, yeah, he probably don't know who Pearl Jam is, so let me explain. But like, I don't know who Eddie Vedder is. I don't know who Pearl Jam is. Damn it, the way you just came, because you didn't do it that way. You came this way. You came this way with, I don't know if you know who Pearl Jam is. My friend plays in a band called the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, people always give me crap for that. They always be like, "Yeah, my buddy plays in this band, Pearl Jam," and then people are like, "Yeah, I know Pearl Jam." Like everybody looks at that. It's just a habit that I have of like my musician friends. Like sometimes my people don't know what band, but yeah, Mike's band is a big band. So yes.
All right, Craig, we don't need you anymore.
All right, thank you for having me on, man. Thank you guys.
Craig,
oh, that's fun.
Joined us. That was a lot of fun.
That's crazy.
Hey man, I can't even. I just. That broke me down right there. That one. I thought you was going to slide into Denzel next, but that broke me down. Coming up as we continue live, we will get in a little bit about the game. Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni. It feels like those two guys are disrespected like hell. Who's worse? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yingling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Wow, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. As someone texted in, Ron, can you repeat Craig's last name? Gass. G-A-S-S. Two S's on that ass. That was very funny, man. That caught me off guard. Hopefully he does come in because, you don't want to get a little deep, but that has to be a heck of a situation in your mind that, hey, man, everybody else in the house, not just my parents, but my sister, everybody's deaf, and I'm the only one in it.
You know
what I mean? You wonder, you know, you don't put anything in his thoughts, but you wonder how does he feel like, God, that's unfair? Does he feel bad for it? Is there a certain amount of guilt that you carry? I didn't mean to go too deep, but I mean, when you're doing Tracy Morgan like that and it just caught me off guard, that was something else. Yeah, that was it. No, man, that was good times with him, and hopefully we catch him again. All right, we are here Radio Row for the Super Bowl. And I do find it very interesting. If you would have just do the say it out loud and just like let's just say what the accomplishments are of these individuals, Jalen Hurts the quarterback, Nick Sirianni the coach, it to me would sound a lot different from how they're spoken about. Like it feels like these two, the way they're spoken about, they would feel like mediocre, middle of the road guys. All right, I mean, we got Jalen Hurts, who's been an All-Pro, second in the MVP voting a couple of years ago. Now he is in his second Super Bowl. He has made the playoffs every year that he's been a starter. Double-digit wins every year, 46-20 as a starter, 140 total touchdowns to 39 picks. Nick Sirianni, 48-20, 5-3 in the postseason. He was a coach of the year a couple of years ago. He's been to the playoffs every year that he's been there, and he's been to two Super Bowls. But is it just me? Does it feel like those guys are talked about not in the vein of what their resumes say? Like it feels like those two are spoken about like.
Yeah, look, I think you're onto something. I think the as you say it, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yes, yeah, but for two totally different reasons. Like I can fully understand why Nick Sirianni is quote unquote disrespected, right? I can fully see where like he brings a lot of it on himself with doing things outside the box for an NFL head coach, doing things outside the box for the face of an organization, doing things outside the box to your own fan base and not even on the road to somebody else. You know, anytime I don't know, and the more we're even here this year, the more I talk to people, it seems like most people didn't really respect the way that he handled the firing of the offensive and defensive coordinators last year in Philly. Regardless whether it should have or shouldn't have happened, but the way he handled it apparently was more of make people scapegoats instead of just be straight up a buck about it. So I can understand where Nick Sirianni is quote unquote disrespected. The thing with Jalen is real interesting because there is a you know there's a track record of a guy that just all the dude does is win.
Nobody thinks he's as good as what his resume says.
Well, and look, I understand. Hell, his own coach and Nick Saban doubted him and replaced him at one point in time. So I understand why the skill set isn't the flashiest, sexiest, most sought after skill set in 2025 football. But the reality of it is, and we know that we talked about it before, the Jalen Hurts story is absolutely beautiful because he doesn't have those, and he wins in a different way, and he's such a class act, and it's such a he's so humble, and just the way in which he goes about it, it doesn't surprise me that it's overlooked and doubted and disrespected, but I just wonder what the guy has to do for people to stop doing it.
And see, this is, and I know, and knowing working with you for 5 years. I know this is where moments frustrate you because if he wins Sunday, if he wins the game, and no matter how the game is won, right, he can play worse than he did in the last Super Bowl that they were in, the first one where
– the odds are he will not play as well as he
but
did
in the Super Bowl. He could throw a pick. He could do whatever. And if they win it – now you tell me if I'm wrong. If they win it, I think he then automatically turns into Russell Wilson. Like the Russell Wilson before – you know, let's ride. That you know, the Russell Wilson before he got to Denver, where Russell Wilson was, oh, wow, multiple Super Bowl appearances. He's won a championship. He's on a Hall of Fame track. And I think if he just wins a game, I think many people will view and look at him differently. And it's like, he is that. I mean, he is what he is. He runs the football. He throws. He's a dual threat that scores from many different ways. And I think we've talked about it before. It's a little bit of the Dak thing, except Dak has nowhere near the resume he has. Is his strengths are not visual on the field. His greatest strengths are the adult in the room, the guy you can depend on, the guy that's the quiet confidence, the leader, all that. That's very much like Dak is his strengths. But then if I were to say that, though, but I read that, I'm like, man, 140 touchdowns and 39 picks in four seasons?
Yeah.
Second in the MVP race and really probably would have won the thing had he not gotten injured? It just doesn't seem like it fits or people believe. Like, it's like, oh, he's lucky. It's kind of the Troy Aikman, your former teammate of, look at all these dudes that he has around him, and yeah. That's why this is the case.
Well, he's got a good team around him, but most guys that make a run and consistently in the playoffs and win double-digit games and per season and get to multiple Super Bowls, they typically do have a pretty good group around them. They typically have a pretty good coordinator on each side of the football. And the thing, again, it's a style of play thing with Jalen. Because he doesn't have an elite NFL arm, it's every game. It's not just the Super Bowl. It's every game. Watch a game and listen how these guys constantly nitpick his game and talk about, well, you're watching from the big eye in the sky. Well, he should have threw the football over here. He had one-on-one coverage and he didn't throw it. And why didn't he throw it to A.J. Brown, the go route? Well, probably because it's the worst route, lowest percentage route in the game. It's probably why he didn't do it. But you're saying he didn't do it because he's not good enough to do it or he didn't see it. Like, he's just picked apart game in, game out in a way that other players aren't. And it's simply because he's just not as an elite of a passer of the football as all these other guys are.
What we really
should be doing is admiring the fact that he realizes that, he embraces that, he doesn't try to be something he's not, and he wins at a Super Bowl caliber level anywhere he goes, whether it's college or in the pros. So instead of embracing it and it just looks a little bit different, boy, everybody tries to poke holes in it.
I feel like both of them deal in a situation of, yeah, we don't, when I say we, the public, many people, we don't actually think you guys are elite or as good as you are, but we treat you that way. Like, we give you the rules of being elite, even though we don't think you are that. Like, I think they come down on Nick as if, you're the coach. You shouldn't do that. Well, hell, you've been saying he ain't a good coach, and now you come down on him like it's Andy Reid or something. And I think we do it with Jalen as well. So it's an interesting thing and dynamic with those two of like 4 years. Those two have been together. He's been the starter, and they have just been great. Anybody would take what they have done. All right. What you got coming up in the four?
Well, we've waited long enough, boys. We've waited long enough. There's a crosstalk. Apparently, there's a little show friction, and I ain't talking about Ron Ugly's thighs. I'm talking
that
about
completely.
I'm talking about Payne and Pendergast in the loop and the drive, baby. And we've got some audio. We're gonna cuss and discuss. Friction. We're gonna break it down. We're gonna maybe cause a little bit more friction. Hopefully, Ron's got his new drawers on and he can handle it a little better. We shall see. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.